Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In 50 years. What am I working for? I'm working to stay true to our family recipe.
At ADP, we're designing a better way to work so you can achieve what you're working for. HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll. Informed by data and designed for people. Learn more at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Opportunity doesn't really knock. It pops up, barges in, or runs by at 100 miles an hour. That's why Vistaprint is getting you ready to grab it with both hands. Head to Vistaprint.com right now and get up to 40% off postcards, invitations, banners, everything you need to market your business. And as a bonus, save up to 50% on every business card we make. So grab this opportunity to get up to 50% on business cards and up to 40% off everything else at Vistaprint.com. Just use promo code SALE40. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code SALE40.
Rosen celebrating its 30th anniversary. Save on any new 2019 Kona, Tucson, or Santa Fe at Rosen Hyundai in Algonquin, Illinois. Save time and shop online at RosenHyundai.com.
Rosen, Rosen, Rosen. Rosen, Rosen, Rosen. Rosen!
You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. A radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score! Top of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Spring football is underway. Join Coach Fitz and the Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been
baseball.
Matt Spiegel.
Are you into letting strangers hug you?
I assume you don't want a hug from Spiegel.
Not really.
Host of Inside the Clubhouse and Hit and Run.
Yeah, some thrills last night. He got to sing with Tom Morello and sing with Cheap Trick, so he's a happy camper.
MLB columnist for 670thescore.com.
The restaurant will be open next year. You had a seat at the table. Yeah, that's progress. You had a seat at the table, but in the end, you didn't want to pay the menu price.
First ballot baseball human.
The bunk bed at Reinsdorf's house where Paxson and Kenny Williams live.
All right, we've already figured out how to do this. The beds match up perfectly. And here's the thing. It'll give us so much extra space in our room to do activities.
Matt Spiegel.
Enthusiasms. What am I? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Dave!
Baseball.
Matt Spiegel with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
He's our guy. This hour on The Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com. Still have a shot at Adam Sandler tickets before we're out of here today. It's McNeil and Parkins on The Score. Matt Spiegel going to hang out with us 4 o'clock hour on Fridays during baseball season.
What's up, man? First time I've heard that. That's enjoyable. A little Smiths to make me smile. A little Al Capone to scare the piss out of you.
You're good. Don't
Can
hit that, that television with that baseball bat there. As soon as you heard De Niro's Al Capone, you reached for the bat, man. That's a bad vibe. I saw that relatively recently, The Untouchables, and Casino recently. Now, those are aluminum bats Frank Vincent is clubbing Joe Pesci and his brother with.
You get a little more distance off that.
The sound on it is really good, though. Those aluminum bats breaking knees.
Sure, those are illegal at most casinos these days. The aluminum bats. You're not allowed to use those. You remember this bat, perhaps, Mac. This is a Louisville Slugger promotional model that they sent to me when I was at Sporting News like 11 years ago. And it's emblazoned there. Is that the right word? Matt Spiegel, the best hitter to never make the major leagues. This bat has lingered at The Score for a decade. It survived an NBC tower run.
Oh, no kidding.
It survived several different studio switches and rolls around different people's offices. I just saw it in Shane Reardon's office as I walked by.
I've always gone with emblazoned too, right? But I don't know if that is correct.
Embossed?
Chef, get on that.
No, embossed is on the surface.
Embossed is puffed out.
Right.
Puffed out.
out.
And this is
engraved.
Engraved.
Yeah, but it's burned in. You know, engraved
emblazoned.
Is like
emblazoned. Yeah, I'm good.
I like emblazoned.
Emblazoned.
Yes. Now we're back to you guys at 6 p.m.
Emblazoned.
Half bird in the ashtray.
In my coffee.
Did you ask for that title as best hitter to not make the big leagues? Or
did
they give that to you?
I did.
You,
no, they gave, you asked they gave for me the option, okay. And I went for that one. That's right.
I always favored the skinnier handle.
That's too skinny.
Maybe just a smidge too skinny, but
that handle is almost as skinny as Carl Edwards Jr. And now we're all
there
sad.
We go.
You see how easy it is?
There we go.
You see how easy it is to get sad? Just mention a Cubs bullpen artiste.
Oh, what?
And immediately you get sick.
Put the trip back home on hold. Want to find out about my gout brother, Herbie Spiegel, and how Ruben enjoyed Grandpappy, and we go right to Carl.
He did. Ruben did enjoy the Grandpappy, and the popcorn-proof suit did come up in conversation, but that's not why you called. Or maybe it is.
Yeah, we can
it's
do whatever,
part of it,
man.
It's part of it.
Uh-huh.
So what do you do with Carl Edwards Jr. now that you brought him up?
You send him to the minor leagues. He's
yeah.
one of two guys with options. Him and Rosario, I believe, are the two guys with options left. And just
pitchers with options. Yes.
What a disservice was done to him by letting him learn his little Kenley Jansen impression delivery.
Who's at fault for that? Cubs or is there baseball at fault too for not getting on it earlier?
Number one, him. Because know the freaking balk rule. Because Kenley Jansen, if you watch him, and Clayton Kershaw and others, David Price, I think, too, they do the pause.
There is a pause.
And then the complete. But there is not a tap. He added a double toe tap, which has been illegal as long as the balk rules have been written. So Carl should know.
Is it a complete tap, though? Some have suggested the foot doesn't actually make contact with the ground.
I don't think, like just about all of Carl Edwards' mechanics, I do not believe it's been consistent, which has been his issue forever. And I think all you needed to see was one tap, which as Drubal Cabrera saw him, put it out to the umps, and there he is. So now you got a guy trying to like refigure out a delivery that he gave up on.
It's wasted spring training.
100%.
Right? He wasted his spring training, and
absolutely.
The Cubs allowed him to waste it.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And now he has options. And here's the thing about Joe and Carl. Joe will continue to put him out there and trust him in large situations, regardless of result. Until he is removed from his hands as an option. You must Joe-proof your bullpen just a little in terms of Carl. Because, you know, he's still going to be either the first middle closer like he was last night, right? Or he's going to be an eighth-inning guy. Not a Bryce Harper homer in the playoffs didn't do it. A four-pitch walk to Yu Darvish in the playoffs didn't do it.
That was a low point.
Joe is still convinced that Carl can be salvaged, and I'm not. I'm done with that.
Okay, well, we'll pick that up in a second. As we spin a bunch of plates, as I'm sure we often will this hour, you can look over your head at the TV speaks that you almost broke with the bat.
Yeah.
Bases loaded, no outs. Yoan Moncada had a full count after fouling off a pitch, roped a single to center field, drove in two. Sox now on top of the Mariners, 9-8. Yoan Moncada, the best offensive player in the American League through six games.
Past Carlos Santana, he and Carlos Santana were right there together.
Yeah, I mean, listen, number one in runs scored, tied for first in OBP.
Amazing.
Tied for average was number one, and then he just drove in two more runs there.
So great to see. So fun
to
see.
He looks like a completely different baseball player.
He's aggressive.
He does, and it's the unexpected. I mean, both of these, that was my biggest concern about the Sox this year, was that Moncada's going to suck again. Because last year was pretty damn close to suckage.
It was brutal. But, you know, Paul Konerko gave Moncada the key when he did that game with Hawk last year. Remember, we played it, I think, Danny, we played the long form of it, or somebody, I don't know who where I was with or what show was on.
Very polygamous man.
But you don't get respect from umpires and pitches until you earn said respect. Hit laser beams with hittable pitches all over the field, which you are able to do, and then try to draw your walks, and then go deep into counts. It's pretty damn simple. Stop waiting and trying to show off your eye. And he went into that. He went into spring training with that mindset. His His numbers after two strikes last year were brutal as compared to his other numbers. For the most part, early on this year, he has not let himself get to that two-strike count. What was glorious today on what should have been the Grand Slam is that he did get to two strikes. That was a 1-2 count and then fouled off several pitches and still got a pitch to drive. I don't know what the count was. Full count up there. So now it's not just being aggressive early. That confidence has carried over to later in the count. It's incredible to see.
And he's hitting the ball to all fields. So like the backwards K's from last year from being too patient, what you're talking about, was definitely a thing. But he also was up there without seemingly a plan, whereas this year, again, very early, wherever they're pitching him, he's, okay, you're throwing me outside? Knock it up over here. Oh, you're shifting? I'll just tap it over here. It's been pretty impressive. It's like a veteran approach all of a sudden.
Well, I think the excessive patience was manifested not just in the backwards K's and the caught lookings, but it was manifested in ending up in counts that aren't advantageous.
Right.
Because you're waiting. Stop waiting. I think
letting a good pitch go looking for a perfect
pitch. Yeah. Just find it. As soon as you see it, and know that your good pitch can be outside. If that's where you're looking, you have the power to do damage with it on the opposite field.
Best story of Chicago baseball so far? What we've been saying is Moncada.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know,
it's the most encouraging.
Well, Carlos Rodon's the best starting pitcher in town right now at this very moment. And I think if you asked me who's going to have the best year of any starting pitcher in town, I would tell you Carlos Rodon. And I would have said that before the year began. I was touting him like crazy. I'm very impressed with him down the stretch last year.
Lester's had two fine outings.
I know.
Good outings.
But Rodon's stuff is better. Lester's a tough MF-er, and Lester will have a very solid year, but he's going to pitch to bad contact. And Rodon will do that sometimes, but Rodon can miss bats when he needs to. And I think he'll have the best year of any starting pitcher in town.
I just think this Moncada story, the Sox fans needed it so badly after that offseason and missing out on Machado. Mm-hmm. And then you sign Eloy, and he's up immediately. And you just have those two guys, even though they're not back-to-back in the order yet, but just middle of the order lineup every day. They're hitting a ton of homers. They're scoring a ton of runs. They're not going to win anything meaningful, but it's exciting.
I only noticed one Machado joke that was tweeted at me today, and I chose not to retweet it. I'm letting it lie, letting it move on. We had our months of destroying the organization.
Okay.
And it may come back. It may come back. As I've said, the relevance of that misfire is going to be big in these free agent classes in years to come as more guys sign. But here we are. Moncada looks awfully good. Eloy is here. Rodon looks good. Hell, man, I'm looking forward to seeing Lucas Giolito's next start and the 5 or 10 after that. He made some changes in the spring that carried over to his first start of the major league season.
What changes?
He simplified his delivery, made it a lot tighter, and that seems to have given him more command of the fastball, which was the biggest deal for him. And his velocity has ticked up for some reason from that with the simplified delivery. It's like pitching's so counterintuitive sometimes. Man, you know, you think you need more and to really use the whole body. And no, he's simplified it and the velocity has gone up because it's about how you finish and the ride and the sail of the ball as it comes out of the hand. So Giolito's made some changes, and those, I want to see if those keep carrying over or not.
I've been trying to think of, if you're a Sox fan now, what the dream is for the next year or two. Because Rick Hahn said, we're going to spend the money that we allocated for Machado. It's going to get spent. You've got to supplement this young core.
Like with clubhouse improvements?
right.
What are they going to do?
Well, but so that's
traveling masseuses? I heard him tell Lawrence that. They're going to make sure they asked for a traveling masseuse. We gave it to them. I'd like one too, Rick.
We all want one.
Les called them messages. Mike McCarthy was meeting for messages. He kept getting messages. He was meetings. It was very confusing. He meant massages. But so Xander Bogaerts signs, right?
So he's not your option.
Arenado signs.
You're going to have to trade. You're going to have to. You're going to be forced to be in a position where you're going to have to deal. Because there aren't going to be guys who are franchise changers as free agents. At least not that we're aware of yet.
And I think that's one of the sort of subtler implications of this rash of signing of these young guys is now everybody is going to have assets with bankable money, solid cost certainty for young players that all become more tradable because you can specifically quantify exactly what you're getting.
The problem with that, though, because I obviously agree that that's the way to go and it opens it up more, right? The Cardinals traded for Goldschmidt with a year left on his deal and then extended him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I'm talking about the kids. Like who's to say... Who's to say that you know, if the Red Sox end up in rebuild mode, that Bogaerts is not going to be something that, like, as a tradable asset, some of these extensions, you know, if the Braves crap the bed in 3 years,
Acuna,
I mean, not that you're necessarily going to be able to. I'm just picking a name out of there. But all these guys in 2 or 3 years might become tradable assets depending on what their organization does.
Sure, right? Like the Cubs extend David Bodie. We can talk about that later. But he's more tradable now for other teams because they know what they're going to pay him. It's a good tradable asset.
If he's good.
If he's good, right? That's obviously the low end of an Acuna.
Sure.
But I guess my thing is the whole point was the Sox, the biggest contract they ever gave was $68 million, and if you're spending on a great free agent and getting him to come here, it's just money.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to now, if you're going to trade for, to use your example, Acuna or whomever,
you're giving
Bogaerts
away
or Mookie Betts
asset capital.
You're giving away assets and then signing them for money. It's not nearly as advantageous as just spending money to supplement your core.
That's true. You know what? They should have signed Machado.
Right.
And we're back.
Rendon. Mookie Betts is 2 years away. When they didn't sign Machado, optimistic Sox fans said, oh, well, it'll just be Arenado. Now I want to know, what is best case scenario? What's the dream scenario?
The dream scenario is that all these guys just develop. That Luis Robert's two-homer night, which sounded beautiful. That Zach Collins' two-homer night last night. And that second one was a bomb. They played the highlight earlier on the broadcast. That those guys just keep developing and you don't need the big money impact superstar free agents quite as much as you thought you did. That's your dream now.
Okay. The defending champs have gotten out of the gate slowly. The Yankees are having a slow start. The Astros are not having a good season yet. The Cubs, of those are teams that are expected to be title contenders. Mm-hmm. Which one of those early struggles do you believe to be the most real?
It's a good question. Probably the Red Sox, because I have my doubts about Chris Sale. I'm shocked at that extension when his velocity was down last year and it was down in the spring. And here it is down in the regular season. And they don't have that defined closer and don't appear ready to spend to get over the Kimbrel hump or anybody else, really. They're just going to use their mix. So I think the Red Sox one is real. Part of that thinking is also that the Tampa Bay Rays are really exciting and straight up legit. So now the Red Sox have an absolute, a very good chance of finishing third in that division. And that's a really good division. Astros, I'm not worried about. Yankees, I'm not worried about.
This segment on The Score brought to you by Campland RV. It's Campland RV's huge tent event from April 5th through the 14th. Find great deals just in time for camping season. Go to CamplandRV.com for details. Campland RV, RV buying made easy. Just a short drive off I-94 in Northwest Indiana. Matt Spiegel's the new host of Hit and Run.
Hit and Run is back with Matt Spiegel, 9 to noon, Sunday morning.
Sometimes 12:35. All depends on pregame, Mac. I'll work that extra 35 minutes if I have to. No problem.
I'm sure you will.
And his 32nd co-host of his Score career this Sunday, and it's going to make some news. We'll get into it coming up. McNeil and Parkins on The Score. Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Our friend Matt Spiegel is going to hang out with us 4 o'clock hour Fridays, McNeil and Parkins, and then he'll do it Thursdays if we've got Friday Cubs day games.
Yeah, what are we going to do when we have Thursday and Friday Cub games? Because there's a bunch of those on the calendar, too.
We'll figure it out.
Have you seen the schedule? I think there's a good 5 or 6 Thursday, Friday platters, 120 each day.
That's an excitable man right there.
Yeah, it's his favorite part of the job.
I'm available Wednesdays often if need be.
Beautiful.
I'll happily come in. Yes, sirs.
So this Sunday for the first Hit and Run,
yeah,
your co-host is Ryan Dempster.
Good dude. Good pitcher. knows his baseball. He's on the MLB Network. For those who don't watch that network, which I devour with ridiculous frequency, saw a commercial today with him as an MLB analyst, and it's him sitting there talking to to Mike Trout, who's lying on the therapist couch, and it's Dempster as the therapist slash analyst, which is a So I'm looking forward to talking to Dempster, multifaceted guy, interested in other realms of the baseball entertainment media landscape, if you will. So maybe we'll have a kind of a conversation about that sort of stuff too, because I think that's in some people's heads with Marquee burgeoning and MLB Network existing as it is in year 10 of MLB Network, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big secret that he is potentially in line to be a part of any sort of Cubs network that launches, because he's got baseball credibility, he's got Cubs credibility, and he's got some entertainment chops. I just find it funny that his name around here sometimes, because people mocked his Harry Carey impression.
Yeah. Oh, I was among them.
It was not good.
It was an impression of Will Ferrell's impression.
Bad impression of Will Ferrell's good impression.
Although not as bad as Derek Holland's impression of Ryan Dempster's impression Will Ferrell's impression of Harry Carey.
Generational impressionist.
Yeah.
But I was at Cubs convention and he was there in front of, I don't know, 10,000 Cubs fans or whatever it was, and he got a huge ovation.
Well, and have you seen the Friday night thing that they've now done a couple times at the Cubs convention?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like him doing a talk show.
Yeah, and he's great at it.
And last year I was at the thing he did at the Vic, which was, again, him doing a talk show with different folks. Ozzie Guillen was a guest, was hilarious when he could understand him. Sean Casey was a guest and absolutely stole the show with incredible stories. And he had a band there, and Kerry Wood was a guest, and they obviously have a great relationship. So, you know, he's trying to do that kind of thing. And I find him to be an interesting and entertaining human who is more than just an impression that annoys people.
And that's the thing. Like, you're going to try to be entertaining and funny, and sometimes your bits are going to fall flat.
What?
I know.
Hold on. Let me get this straight.
That happens?
So parody songs? You're saying some of those have been bad and offended people, and yet I remain confident in my desire to create product?
That's what I'm saying. I was like, huh? That's the big insult that Cubs fans have. Oh, he tried to do a Harry Carey impression and it fell flat.
My bigger insult to Ryan Dempster, which I will get into, is one of the more embarrassing baseball injuries. You remember him jumping over the railing of the dugout?
I do.
To celebrate a win?
Yep.
And I believe he broke a toe?
Yep. He grammaticated himself.
yes, he did. He ferrotted. He Gus ferrotted himself. Exactly. So we'll get into that, among other things. But yeah, this should be fun on Sunday mornings. Different guest hosts. I have a master list. I have already reached out to so many people that I know in the business, be they former players or coaches or media guys or announcers, and some have said, yeah, I'll do it, and some have said, no, I will not do it, and some have said, when I'm in town, I'll do this. But it's, you know, it's always fun to put yourself out there as the guy asking to do it, and then you find out whether people actually like you or want to work with you or not, because it's not like we're paying an awful lot to those guest co-hosts. You should see my pitch. Is like,
hey, throw the yard of pizza at you.
I'll make really good coffee, which I plan to bring in myself and take care of, you know. But I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. I think Dempster's going to do 10 to noon. So I'll do the first hour talking Cubs and Sox with the people, and Dempster will do a couple hours, and I'll do the last.
Well, they did not call it Coomerstown because that would have been too similar to the location of the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. It would have been too much of a sound alike, and it would have been very confusing.
At least I might have made one Hall of Fame there.
There's Zach whipping it in the back with a Zackle.
I don't know why they make me so happy. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Spring football is underway. Join Coach Fitz and the Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
I have to confess, I had an era with these goofs.
Did you?
Devo, yes, I did. Hey, if you can't beat them, join them, right?
Sure.
Techno was everywhere in the early 80s, and those weirdos appealed to me. Scorsese used their cover of I Can't Get No Satisfaction in Casino. That's how much he loves the Stones. He's using Devo's cover of Stone songs. If, in fact, it was his choice. I got to think he has his fingerprints on it. since he's friendly with the Stones and has a lot of their music in all of his movies.
I was going to say, he uses the music in their movies, and then he did a documentary on the Stones.
He did, yeah,
right?
Shine a Light, yep.
Yeah, and so I saw at the Stones pop-up museum over at Navy Pier, there was the Scorsese and the Stones, all the images and the songs and all of that. That was a really cool exhibit.
I never went to it. You know, I kind of wish I would have, but
they did a great job with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, a friend who went twice liked it so much.
Yeah, the
of course, he's seen them 113 times. So
he's their P1.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. I'm surprised he didn't go to third time.
He's dedicated. But yeah, it was cool. And especially,
I need to see that sitar again.
Yeah, they had original equipment and stuff donated,
right.
all the outfits. And then my favorite part was the Chicago connection. Because it was here, it was a traveling exhibit, but they had a special wing that was just about the Stones' ties to Chicago and all the songs that they had played,
yep.
And Buddy Guy and all the tie-ins to it. It was really cool.
Yep, used to record at Chess Records in the South Loop, all those things.
Yeah, it was nice. The caller dropped who said that the Cubs were only marginally better than the White Sox.
That's a marginal call.
That's all right. My group chat is actually blowing up with my friends because Sox fans they're chirping a little bit to the Cubs fans.
I told you.
Well, good.
You could have seen this one coming.
Yeah, and good.
Hey, Parkins.
I hope it happens.
How many days until you guys are 500?
Hey,
is there a trophy for 500?
I know. There's no trophy.
Is there a trophy for 5-3 if you win all three against the Mariners? I don't think so.
No, but I love it. I'm not one of the guys that hates the Cubs-Sox rivalry and trash talk and North Side, South Side and when they play each other. As long as it doesn't devolve into fights, I find it to be harmless, good old-fashioned sports fun.
It should be. That's what, yes, if it remains as such, yes, that would be a good thing. But it's way too early to chirp and it's way too early to bury anybody. And I'm glad we don't do that between 2-6 here on this afternoon ride.
No, I just get really uncomfortable
yes,
with the state of the Cubs.
That's what you said. That was the word you picked out. Yesterday, that was your mood yesterday.
Yeah.
That's your word. That's your credo yesterday. Your maxim. You lived by it. You were uncomfortable.
It's big, man.
You were itchy.
This is a big series now against the Brewers and for the Sox. Given that their opening day just ended, I don't know that you could have scripted a much better start to the season. Like, sure, you'd want Ronaldo Lopez to not give up 6 runs today, right?
He got hit pretty hard,
but.
Sox were gifted that first inning, too. Seattle made 3 first inning errors.
The shortstop made 3 errors.
The shortstop made all 3
errors. Yeah. One player made all 3 errors. Tim Beckham.
Can we get him?
Is he available? This guy here is dead. Cross him off then. But yeah, it's been, for the Sox, to me, it's been pretty perfect.
Yeah, it's been good.
Scoring a ton of runs, playing entertaining baseball.
Right, they're average.
And Yohan Moncada breaking out.
That's the biggest story of the year. It's Moncada and it's Jimenez. Those are the biggest stories of the year.
So far, for the first week, especially if you're focusing on the positives. The Cubs negatives is going to get more attention because of expectations. It's not even a Cubs-Sox thing in terms of there are more Cubs fans or they get higher ratings or anything like that. It's simply a product of expectations.
Mm-hmm. Texter says, I hate to be the guy asking a dumb question, but what does it mean in baseball to be pressing? Well, it's like I was describing when pitchers talk about trying to get 2 outs with 1 pitch and no one's on base. But, you know, guys trying to hit 2 run homers, guys trying when there's no one on, guys trying to win 2 games in 1 day. You think you've got to turn everything around times 10, and that's not – you can't win more than the game you're playing. That's it. The Cubs can't be 500 after tonight. They can't be 500 after tomorrow. You got to settle down and take them one at a time as cliche as it sounds.
And it sounds very cliche.
It is. I know. Get a t-shirt made, right? Get that emblazoned on your wall somewhere in the locker room. But it's the truth.
Well, it's just like any job. You can press in any job. You can try too hard. You can stress yourself out. You can obsess over mistakes. You could be a perfectionist.
If football is a game that can be played with a high stress level, though, I think it almost has to be played with a high level of stress because you can get your head handed to you if you don't.
But quarterbacks can ground a ball.
Quarterbacks have to be more unflappable than the other 10 guys. No doubt about that.
Sure, an offensive lineman can – the ball gets hiked and just – boom, right off the line of scrimmage, and you take out your urgency or your anger there.
Right.
No question. But, yeah, quarterbacks, you see it there. And
baseball is about pacing yourself.
That's right. angles and soft hands and all that stuff.
That's right. Yeah. You're feeling it? Throw that uncomfortable in the garbage, man.
Okay, I'll try my best. Tim and New Lennox, let's see where this goes. What's up, man? You're on the Score.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, I'm just wondering, like, you know, I understand it's early, but if this continues and the Sox, you know, keep this up, like, are you guys going to start devoting a little bit of time talking about the Sox, or is it going to be all Cubs every minute?
We've been talking about the Sox quite a bit today, actually. Okay. Today, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, the you know, high percentage of our baseball verbiage is devoted to the Cubs. You are correct with that, and I'm delighted that the Sox have had the nice first weekend change of the season, so we do have some positives to talk about.
Right.
Believe me, I'd rather talk about Yoan Moncada looking like the real thing than I would Manny Machado being a Padre. That's much more fun to do the former. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, the other day, Mac, I get in a, you know, I got a, like a 45-minute drive home, and, you know, the Sox just had a great game. Moncada's hitting like 500, and I had to listen to 45 minutes about David Bodie's contract. Like, come on, man. Like,
we're going to win an award for that segment, Tim. We're going to win an award for that segment, Tim.
Oh, dear God. I mean, come on, irrelevant. Like, come on, man. You know, like, I'm excited. We got, you know, these young – the win-loss record, throw it out the window. It doesn't matter. But you got Anderson, you got Moncada, you got all these guys that are stepping up and
point taken.
Things exciting. So all I'm saying is, please, you know, I got to listen to Go Cubs Go every 4 minutes on this station. So if you could at least, please, speak about the Sox every once in a while.
We have been, Tim. Don't be the insecure Sox fan, man.
Thank you, Tim. The Bodie conversation went as long as it did because we were all so stunned by the oddity of the announcement. And then stunned even more by what ensued, an argument about David Bodie's long-term potential. What is his ceiling? I never would have guessed when my feet hit the floor that morning, we would wind up arguing about David Bodie in 400 season plate appearances ever.
Trust me, I didn't think I was going to have a $400 bet on David Bodie having 400 plate appearances at any point. But hey, man, it's live radio. You react to the news, and we found some genuine conflict in there. And the David Bodie segment ends 2 segments instead of one. A little long, right? David Bodie, what a player. What upside. What exit velocity.
He's...
I can't even do it.
Thank you. I'm sorry. He's a fine utility player.
Yeah, he sure is. Who do you trust out of the bullpen tonight?
Kinsler.
Okay.
So can Q get the first 24 outs?
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Just give
the ball,
a stroke. Yeah,
yes. Give the ball to give it to Kinsler. Get Kinsler. Let him get the last three outs.
Really?
Of the game.
Okay.
Let Pedro rest.
Oh no.
Yeah. You want him healthy when you go for the knockout punch Sunday. You want him rested and ready to go.
Hey, caller 12 on the Scores contest line, 312-591-6700. You win a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on June 1st, 312-591-6700. We'll bring in Shep for some transition ahead of Cubs and Brewers next on the Score.
You know how I feel about Shep.
Yes, it's good to have somebody with that small a cultural range at this point in his life.
It is good to have that.
Hey, kiss my ass, Meeks.
Hey, there it is. Shep in studio until what, 6:35 or so?
6:35 or so, yeah, probably about 6:32, 6:30. I think I'll take my break, get the Cubs baseball on time.
Oh, 32,
yeah, make
30.
Sure we hit Zach Zaidman right at 35, get his full 35 minutes of pregame for the Cubs. Turn it all around against the Brewers tonight. Who's coming with me?
Jose or Quintana, baby. Something. Or something like that.
That's what Herb just told me in the hallway. He said, you got Q on the mound. Q owns Milwaukee. You need a big game. That's the guy that you want out there. He's assuring me that the Cubs are going to take care of business tonight up in Milwaukee.
Oh, well, if Herb said it.
In where?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Baxter, bark twice if you're in Milwaukee. Okay.
I got that. It's Rod Burgundy.
Great.
Hey, Kermit.
I feel better then. I feel better. It's going to be all, everything's going to be fine.
If Herb says it's okay, then things are going to turn out okay.
Okay.
And now, I don't know what okay by his definition is, but he says it's going to be all right because Q's on the bump.
Isn't he like rooting for the Cubs to lose?
Haven't you watched Q since he got traded from the Sox? And I'm not sure he has, but Herb says it's going to happen, so it's going to happen.
Closed ballpark all weekend, or will they open it up tomorrow?
I would assume closed.
Tomorrow's matinee as well, right? Or is it a night game tomorrow?
No, tomorrow's 6 o'clock game. Tomorrow's 6 o'clock. Yeah, Sunday's the matinee. Okay. So I would bet,
Roof will be closed
the whole time, yeah. I would think.
Right. Tomorrow's supposed to be mid-60s, I think. Whew. Possibly as high as 70, a little bit more south of the city. But clouds tomorrow, lots of clouds, I guess. But as long as there's no rain, hey, get out and play 18, right?
You're playing, right?
I'm going to play golf, and I'm going to like it.
Good for you. I don't think I have time to get an 18 tomorrow, but maybe I get to a range.
Yeah, Van texted me today, my oldest, and he works at the clinic where Patrick is at every day, Patrick's mom's clinic, and he said Patrick was telling his therapist at lunch he's going to the golf course tomorrow with Daddy, and he was all excited about it. I didn't think he was, because I thought he had kind of given up the driving go-karts. He wasn't as go-karty last year. He hasn't been as interested in going to the golf course. Maybe he heard us talking about the pen or something on the air. I don't know. He heard Shep's suggestion to get him a few gummies.
He wants to go back to Arizona.
Along the way. He doesn't play. He just drives the cart and hangs out. And it's good to get out and get some fresh air. Come out where people are at and just enjoy life a little bit instead of caving it every weekend like he wants to do.
And golf carts are fun.
They are, right?
Right.
As long as it's not cart path only. It's probably still restricted, though, because that's going to be problematic, especially when he takes the wheel. Because he likes to go. He went over a tee box once. Fortunately, it was only a low rent.
Listen, I've had a
municipal garbage.
Sure, I've had a buddy drive a cart right into a sand trap. It was like 9 beers deep.
He needs Cervix horn for that.
It's like, what are you doing? Oh, right on the beach.
That was the best part of golfing growing up, though. I mean, in high school, and just taking out the cart and not giving a damn about your score and just trying to tear the shreds out of the old Braidwood fairways, the old Nuke 9.
Braidwood, there's a blast.
Biggest dump of a
golf
course you're ever going to walk on. I think it's just like a weed sanctuary.
I've never played Braidwood.
I don't think it exists anymore.
Cinder Ridge still exists. That's not far from your nape of the neck.
No, that's my exit, 236 off of 55.
Wilmington, hello.
Technically Wilmington, yes, by address and technically in Will County, but yeah, it's my home course.
It's like Arizona golf, Danny.
Forgiving for lefties.
Yeah, you're right. It does have some different holes for left-handers, and it's every hole is just like there's no adjacent fairways. You go out and you're by yourself the whole day. It's like desert mountain golf. You don't see many other people. So if you like your privacy, Cinder Ridge could be for you.
Okay. I mean, I'll play any golf course anytime, but I prefer ones that are a little challenging. I don't want to see other people, but if your ball just goes nowhere. Like
I wouldn't say nowhere, but it's more forgiving for a lefty. It was built or designed by
a righty with a slice.
Yeah, right. Right.
It sounds terrible for me. But I'll get it out there. Texter again writes in, why can't you give the Sox any credit? Shep, you want to give the White Sox credit?
Yeah, I'll give them credit. The most important piece for this season is playing his ass off right now. He went 2-for-4 and somehow his on-base percentage went down today.
Yeah,
that is a huge step.
Believe that's great. That's been acknowledged by us.
It's a constant.
I mean, what more do you want us to say? You want us to write okay, I'll work on a song for Moncada over the weekend.
Yo-yo.
Yo-yo?
Yeah, why not?
Whoa, 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 just like a yo-yo. It works.
Is there a real song? It works. Is there a yo-yo song that's out there?
Yeah, who did the Osmonds, right?
You're asking us to.
Yes, definitely.
Well, he was the one who quoted it.
Well, I was just saying yo-yo is a nickname that you can play off
of. It wasn't the Jackson 5, was it?
You're not getting any help from either of us, so yo-yo whatever you song. Say, I'm convinced you're probably going to be right on. I have no damn idea. Yo-yo, yo something.
All right, you find the Moncada song.
Yeah, but I mean, what else do you want praise for? Starting pitching, Ronaldo Lopez was bad again today. Gave up 6 runs. But they walked out and got a victory.
Rodon promising, Giolito promising. It's been, it's been a fine start.
I don't know what people want. Like, be excited. If you're a Sox fan, be excited. Your young pieces are starting to arrive. One of them starting to play particularly well. Be excited about that.
It's also all a product of expectations, right? If the Cubs won 84 games, it would be a colossal failure. If the White Sox won 84 games, it would be a colossal success.
Yeah, and you'd look at 2020 and be like, oh man, this is the real coming out time.
It was the Osmonds who did yo-yo. from their Phase 3 album released in 1972.
Of course. Of course it was.
Yeah, I had it.
Damn right.
What? How are you spending your 35 minutes?
I'll
wait for the lyrics to come in on that one.
Yeah, better plot this all out. Some Sox home opener reaction. Moncada continues to be great, so we'll have some sound from the ballpark there. And Cubs and Brewers tonight, Jose Quintana on the mound, and hopefully steer this thing in the right direction, because it's big. I don't think it's just big because it's April. It's big because, I mean, this could be disastrous. If it goes south and goes south in a hurry, like you go back to your home ballpark 1-8 on opening day.
I haven't entertained the possibility of them getting swept. They lose 2 of 3, okay, but get swept.
The possibility is out there. Any of it could happen. I'm not saying it will.
Yeah, right. Anything could happen. Thank you to Bart Winkler,
who was on
the show. Matt Spiegel was in studio for the 4 o'clock hour. He's your new host of Hit and Run. Ryan Dempster is his co-host for 2 hours on Sunday. Also, Shane Reardon called in from Sox opening day.
Shane also informed me that Bart wants to come down and drink with us one night.
I'm available.
That news to me.
I enjoy
Bart
drinking at night.
Bart wants to drive down from Milwaukee one Thursday night.
I'll go.
Go drink with us.
I don't know if he'll ever be the same pen pal Paul Charchian is, but I'll bend an elbow with Bart Winkler.
Gotta start somewhere,
Put
right?
Put him on the Radio All-Star Squad. We're gonna travel around the country and meet these boobs.
Studs, thank you for sitting in for Chris Tannehill. Fantastic work as always. Nick Shepkowski's coming up next. He's our executive producer. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins, and that makes us McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.